Domino's $5.99 carry-out pizza deal. So amazing, we can't even talk about it on the air.
Sure we can. It's a large Domino's pizza with any two toppings for just $5.99.
It's a price so low, we can't even say it out loud.
I just did. It's $5.99.
We're not even allowed to think about this limited-time offer.
Is this how you really talk?
Yes.
Backed by popular demand, it's Domino's $5.99 carry-out pizza deal. This week only, get a large pizza with any two toppings of your choice for just $5.99. Now through January 27th, only at Domino's.
Carry-out only. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Okay, welcome into another Duly Noted podcast. We are here on a lovely Tuesday. Of course, Florida basketball plays tonight if you're listening today. If not, then you already know what Florida did against Mississippi State. But we're going to open up talking about it a little bit later on the podcast. Robbie Andrews is going to join me, my colleague here at the Gainesville Sun. We're going to talk a lot of Gator hoops. We're going to kind of look back and look ahead to Florida football. Of course, the season they had and the season we think they might have next year. All that we'll talk about. Also, Robbie and I are going to name our favorite play, favorite player, and favorite game of the 2018 season. I want to start with basketball, though. Obviously, there are people, a lot of people disgruntled and people who think they have answers. And to be honest with you, I don't think there are answers for this basketball team right now because I just don't think it's in – it's there. Like Mike White said after the game, after the loss to Tennessee, it's got to mean more to us. And what he's talking about is accountability and understanding what you're supposed to do, responsibility, that kind of stuff. This has been the problem all year, and it comes in spurts. This is a team of mental spurts. You have teams that have offensive spurts, teams that will go get hot. And this is a team that mentally just checks out at times. Or just enough players check out at times on their responsibility, their accountability on the court. And I don't know that at this point it's something that they're going to be able to teach because, look, they have a defense set up, a defense called. Grant Williams drives in the middle. I thought he walked, but, you know, then I watched the replay. Maybe he didn't. It doesn't matter. They didn't call it. So it doesn't really matter whether he walked or not. Well, they're not supposed to collapse on him, but they did. And he fires it out to a wide-open Admiral Schofield, who's their best three-point shooter, who is already, by the way, in his last shot, threw up an air ball, but he's so wide open, he couldn't miss. And you knew he'd make that shot, and that was pretty much the game. And, of course, a lot of other stuff happened afterwards. But here's – I'm going to talk a little bit about what Florida lacks right now. There will be a lot of arguments from people saying one thing they're missing is a bench guy – maybe an older guy, older coach, and to have more experience. And that's an easy argument to make when they're not winning games. When they're winning games and they, you know, with the same staff, you guys have, I think the great thing is that they're able to be so young, they're able to recruit. And look, that's certainly gone well, as we know. Here's what Florida lacks. To me, three things. One is Florida doesn't have a guy who, when they have to have a basket, it matters. It is huge, whether it's the end of the half, the end of the game. They don't have a guy who can get that basket. They don't, and your first answer, well, what about Kayvon Allen? No, Kayvon Allen, the problem with Kayvon Allen, to me, in addition to him checking in and out mentally, game to game, shoots six times against South Carolina and then comes back with 18-18. That's a good sign. Maybe it's starting to sink in. But Kayvon Allen is not a guy who can take it to the hoop on a consistent basis. He's not that tall. I thought some of the shots, like that, there was one play where he just backed in the guard and shot over him. And it was a tough shot and he made it. And I was like, wow, that's great. Came back down, same thing, didn't even get the rim. You don't do that twice in a row. You make it once, you're grateful you made it. But they don't have that one guy who can get a shot and create off the dribble and make a basket. You know, there was a time when Jalen Hudson looked like he might be that kind of player, but as we all know, he is not that kind of player anymore. You know, I'll get into what's happened there in a minute. Secondly is basketball IQ. It's not that these guys are dumb. I would never call a basketball player or an athlete, student athlete in any sport, dumb. People make dumb mistakes. People, again, when they don't have accountability, they will do something that looks dumb on the court. But you've got to have a basketball IQ, and that IQ is understanding why you're doing what you're doing. You know, Mike talked a lot about the scouting reports. They need guys to pay more attention to scouting reports, and this was a problem last year, if you recall, earlier in the season. They got better at it, but they just weren't, like, if they tell, and look, Billy Donovan had this problem with players. I remember him one time being so mad at Eric Murphy because he had, I can't remember who the player was for Kentucky. I think it was Eric Murphy, who he kept telling him, look, this guy only drives with his left hand. He can't dribble with his right hand. He's incapable of it. So overplay him to that side. And then the guy scored three straight baskets going to his left. I mean, you can tell guys and tell guys and tell guys, and sometimes it doesn't sink in. I probably shouldn't say it was Eric Murphy because it might not have been, and then it will make him look like he didn't play with a high basketball IQ. But that's what Florida's lacking as a team. And again, their young guys are talented, but even there, you see some lack of maybe understanding. The late shot by Noah Locke, they get the steal, they come down. Why? It was an open look, good look, would have given them the lead, place the roof would have come off the place, rimmed out. Wasn't the worst shot in the world, but again, it seems like maybe you pull it back and try to set something up, and then that there's part of me that says that, and it's always easy to say that after it misses, but then there was another part of me that said, well, when they get the half-court offense, they're not very good either, so you might as well take a wide-open three. The third thing they're missing are finishers, guys who go to the basket and finish and get the and ones, and you heard Mike talking about that after the game where he said, look, we need guys who aren't celebrating after they get fouled going to the basket after they missed a dunk. These are the things I see that they're missing, and we'll see what happens the rest of the season. The big thing is this season's far from over. I looked at the NCAA net, which is supposed to be the new RPI. How important it is, I have no idea. And we're not going to know till after Selection Sunday. When that comes, and then we'll go, oh, the net is important or the net is not important. But right now, Florida's 42nd, which would be just outside the bubble probably. But considering what they've done this year, that's not bad. There certainly is a room for them inside the bubble. Let's put it that way. For example, FSU, which has looked terrific at times, tough loss for them Monday night at Pittsburgh. They're 34th on in that net. And again, Florida's played a tough schedule. They've got some wins over Power 5 teams, West Virginia, Stanford. Neither one's very good. Butler, they need to win some big games. They need to get probably to 11. I think they need 11 wins in the conference. 11-7, I think they would get in. And the TCU game would be might be just for seeding. But it certainly was a difficult loss, and it was a great atmosphere, and good for you fans that showed up, and I know my wife and daughter were both there, sitting in separate seats. They had different friends with them. It was a great atmosphere, and look, Tennessee doing the Gator Chomp after the game, that's – I know that a lot of people were upset by it. I know Rick Barnes was upset by it. I know – Kavarius Hayes was upset by it. But the bottom line is, that's what Florida is. Florida's iconic. What would you do if you beat Tennessee? What would you I don't know. I can't think of anything that says Tennessee. When you're trying to taunt fans, you could talk about their inbred situation with their fight song, half man, half bear, whatever it was. Dumbest fight song in the world. That's what happens. I heard last night watching the Pitt FSU game, when Pitt had put it away at the very end, the students started doing the tomahawk chop and the chant. And I'm like, that's so dumb. But if you want to be dumb, that's your right. You know, you can be dumb if you're. But I think it's stupid to do the other team's, you know, chant or symbol because you're excited, you're fired up, but all you're doing is saying to them, hey, by the way, this is one of the coolest things in the world, and we're doing it to taunt you because, you know, and you see it happen in a football game. Sometimes it's a flag, sometimes it's not. I don't get me started on that. But I wasn't offended by it. I didn't think Florida people should be offended by it. They should take it almost as a compliment. You know, it's such a big deal. And when Admiral Schofield says, well, people were being really rude, saying inhumane things, the people behind the bench were saying that, it's easy to say things like that when there's no proof, when there's nobody, you know, the people behind the bench tend not to be those, you know, the people that are rowdy-ist. And they're rowdy. They get into the games. But you would think that Rick Barnes would have said something, and that at some point, if it was inhumane, think about what that word means. If somebody said something inhumane from behind his bench, he would have gotten security over there. I think that was a total cop-out myself. But whatever happens, happens. All right. So anyway, look, I think one of the biggest things everybody has to understand here is Mike White's not going anywhere. You guys can be down on him. They're struggling this season. I see if they can turn around. But whatever happens, I can tell you Mike White is going to be the coach at Florida for a long time. And how do I know that? I was talking to the AD today. And that's what he said. And I agree. Got a great recruiting class coming in next year. Ought to be something special. He's going to get it. I mean, he's going to get it done. Don't worry about it. I mean, be concerned with this team. Be concerned that they haven't been able to bring big guys in here. And I am concerned about that too. But it's Mike White's not going anywhere. So get off your Izzy on the hot seat crap, because it ain't happening. He's not on a hot seat. Okay? All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Robbie Andrew from the Gainesville Sun. We got a lot of cool things to talk about. And we'll do that right after this break here on the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
The Gators are definitely on a roll under Coach Mullen, and next year should be even better. Winning is great for the program, but not for everything. Did you know what winning also does? It creates difficulty finding hotel rooms around game day.
Oh, no.
Most hotels triple their normal rates and charge at least two nights minimum.
What?
And if the Gators really start winning, everything will be sold out way in advance.
No! No!
Have you ever thought about owning your own place in Gainesville to use for you and your friends and family on game day weekends? Call Betsy Pepin, the top realtor in Gainesville and sponsor of the Duly Noted Podcast, at 352-226-8474. And she'll help you find that perfect place for whenever you come to Gainesville. And when you're not using the place, she'll Airbnb it and take care of all the details. Betsy makes it easy for you to enjoy game day weekends instead of paying five-star rates for a one-star motel. Own your game days next year. Call Gainesville's number one realtor, Betsy Pepin, today. 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474.
Okay, welcome back on the Duly Noted Podcast. Always a great pleasure to be joined by my colleague and friend and fellow St. Augustinian and fellow St. John's River Viking.
And I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, I forget about most things that happened during those years. Robbie Andrew joining us right now. We're going to talk a little Gator football. I know you guys are going to be disappointed to hear about the Gator football team, but we're going to talk about that. Maybe we may be auditioning for like a future after we retire radio show too.
Yeah, Pat. Remember, we were the Beach Boys for a while there.
Yeah, it didn't go over well.
No.
I don't think anybody got our nickname.
No. We grew up in St. Augustine on the beach.
Well,
pretty much.
Yeah. We knew where the beach was. Let's put it that way.
We knew how to get there.
That's right. No fun to go. But anyway, by the way, Karen and I came up with a great name for it. We're going to go to the Beef O'Braze, I think, and do trivia on Wednesday nights. And our team's going to be called Your Mom, No Way.
That's a good one, Pat. That's one of the best Spurrier stories ever. Yeah, so it never gets old either.
It doesn't. But I told it to some friends of ours, and it just you could just see it whooshing over their heads.
How do you not get that one?
I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about what happened this year and also what we see for the future. Starting out with what happened this year, and I don't think anybody thought Florida would get to 10 wins. I think there after the Kentucky game, I didn't know if they would get bowl eligible.
Yeah, I think a lot of people doubted that. Point.
After the Missouri game, I started thinking we're going to Gator Bowl.
After the Missouri game, Pat, they're on the brink of just collapse again like they were a year ago. And then, you know, they turned around in the second half of that game and rolled through the rest of the year, which is amazing.
What do you think it is about Missouri? I mean,
they have the Florida's number, Pat. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, Drew Locke is gone. That's the best news for Florida. Because even the 1 year they went up there and won, it was 21-7.
It was a struggle the whole way.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then that homecoming game under Muschamp where they just got bludgeoned.
That was bad.
It was one of the worst
games. Didn't Missouri have like 170 yards?
Yeah, they had no offense at all. It was turnover time and kick return.
Well, maybe it's just because we are always bad-mouthing that trip.
And we got to go this year.
I know. The hooks will get me again. Maybe it'll cut me this time.
The hook gets everybody, Pat.
That's the difference. The hook didn't get anybody but me in Atlanta. But the hooks get everybody in Missouri.
Yeah. I don't know why. The Missouri thing is more cramped in than it was at that game the other day. And once you did it, I didn't even notice they were there until you showed me your bloody arm.
The guy who left his book bag right at my feet, I got to get after.
Duly working hurt. Playing hurt.
I know. It was like in Hoosiers. Patch me up. All right.
Cut me, Mick.
Let's go. Yeah, in fact, Scott Strickland was telling Jeremy Foley the story. He goes, we only had one injury in the game.
Pat Dooley.
All right. Let's start out, Robbie. We're going to talk about our favorite play from last year. And that's we're not trying to sound like homers, but the play that really stood out to us is our favorite play. I'll let you go first.
Pat, I'm going to go with the Pirine 3rd-and-20 run in the fourth quarter. Goes 53 yards for a touchdown against Michigan, which to me was amazing. That made it a 34-13 game, and it was pretty much over at that point. But yeah, when do you see a 53-yard touchdown run on 3rd-and-20? It just showed you that they were going to break that bad streak they had against Michigan. It was like a big relief moment there, I think, for Florida.
You know when you see it? Against Florida.
Yeah, I know you do. You do see that.
How many times have you turned to me? It's like 3rd-and-17, Robbie. You know they're going to get this. But
run or throw.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And, but you know what the funny thing is? I think this goes back to some of my pet peeves with teams and the way coaches call games. Like, I hate zone defense. I have come in my old age, come to the conclusion that zone defenses don't work.
No, you just find a hole, sit there, and boom, you got time to
it's
throw.
It's just a matter of the quarterback being good enough to read it. And I hate coaches who go into a soft defense on 3rd-and-20.
Because, the three-man rush, Pat, is ridiculous.
Yeah, the three-man rush. It's just, I mean,
if you have time, somebody's getting open.
Look, 3rd-and-20 in that situation, we all kind of went draw play. I'll probably run a draw play.
Yeah.
And then it happened. So,
somehow it worked.
Yep. I am going to go with a different play. My favorite play of the year is going to still be the Donovan Steiner sack.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, Pat.
And especially because you're sitting there and you're watching this game, and as you and I know, our ears were ringing.
Oh, my gosh.
It was ridiculously loud. And look, it wasn't that the crowd was loud. Okay?
The bells were loud.
The bells were loud, and the PA was loud.
Yeah.
And it was really uncomfortable in the press box. But, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching it, and it's just been this unbelievable defensive battle. And here they come down the field, and they're going to score here.
Yeah, they got a couple of major penalties, got the drive going.
Kept it alive. And then that play, and Steiner comes out of nowhere, and we're like going, who? Right down, who is that guy?
He shot through there so fast, it was unbelievable.
And then to go back and look at the film, and somebody blew an assignment, and the tight end was running wide open in the middle of the field.
The risk you take when you blitz your safety like that.
And when you blitz your safety, luckily, they were working a two-man game on the outside and to try to get one guy open, you know, cutting off of another guy. And, you know, he didn't – by
he
the time
no
he saw
time.
Him, it was gone.
No time.
So that to me was huge because it kind of changed Florida's season, that game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, certainly right at that point, you know, the Tennessee game, the players, which was interesting to me that when we were talking to a lot of them at the Peach Bowl, Robbie, the players are saying how the Tennessee game changed their season.
Yeah.
But I look back and I said, that just told me Tennessee sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida played well in that game, but Tennessee was awful. But, you know, Pat, another play that kind of sticks out for the season is that, and I did a story on it after the South Carolina game, that third down throw where Felipe Franks had to scramble out and the ball got tipped and Trevon Grimes caught it and made a first down. Then they went down and scored and the game turned around after that. If they don't make that play, they probably lose that game.
I would put that under their favorite lucky play.
Yeah, that was very fortunate. But you know,
you need those, though. You need
breaks. If you don't make that play, who knows what happens in that game and what happens
and
the rest
who,
of the year.
Where does it go from there? Which brings us to favorite player. And for me, I'm going to go with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Again, we're not being homers here. I'm just saying the guy who impressed me the most.
I liked him, too, Pat. He was great to deal with. He would come to interviews every week.
And he became a football player this year. He came on the scene with that Outback Bowl, MVP of the Outback Bowl with the two picks, and we thought he was going to be something. But last year, I mean, I wasn't impressed by him. He didn't tackle well. He looked like he didn't want to tackle. He tackled like Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And I wasn't overly impressed with him. I was impressed with everything he did this year, including and to me, if you know that whole Urban thing, you face of Florida football, he became the face of Florida football. Remember, we were talking in the preseason that CeCe was the face of Florida football, but he wasn't.
He wasn't. You're right.
No, I think it was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
And the thing about him, Pat, and we talked to him at the Peach Bowl there before the game, he did not want to move to that star position close to the line of scrimmage. But he realized that if he did, he was going to be in a position to make all these plays. He moved there. He took the position, took it over, and played great all year. And, you know, he didn't get a lot of feedback from the NFL before he announced. But I think after watching him in that game, I think somebody is going to draft him fairly high, and I think he's going to have a future in the NFL.
Yeah, because, look.
He does so much.
The bottom line is he can play nickel. You can put him on special teams.
He can play corner.
Yeah, he can play corner. I don't think he's a guy that you want out there on that island. But
an emergency, you could put him out there.
Look what happened like with Philly this year, where all these guys get hurt, and they got guys that they're signing 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah, here's a guy you can move around back there, and he fills a hole.
No, he's going to have a nice night. I salute him for.
And he'll work
season.
Hard, you know that.
Who is your favorite player?
This is going to be a controversial pick, Pat, but I'm going with Felipe Franks just for the fact that he hung in there all year. He got booed at times. People criticized him throughout the year. Yet over the whole course of the year, he kept getting better every week, a little bit better every week. And near the end of the season there, you know, they talked about him being a willing runner. He became a very good physical runner there at the end, and I think that helped round out his game a little bit. But just the way he handled everything and kept improving and trusting his coaches, I give it to him.
And I wonder, this is a question I think I asked this last week on my podcast, Robbie, can Felipe go from good to great?
Well, that's the question.
He went from bad to good.
Yeah. Now do you make the next step? If you look at Mullen's track record, chances are he is going to make that thing. But until he does it, you don't know. But I think that he's going to enter the spring with all kinds of confidence, Pat, based on what he did at the end of the year here.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about more about next year in a minute. But first, let's get to our favorite game, and I'll let you go first.
I think it had to be the FSU game, Pat. That's a hump they had to get over.
That's nothing personal, is it?
No. And, you know, FSU.
Oh, it is. But it is personal.
But the whole thing, though, is, Pat, if they didn't beat them this year, when are they going to beat them? Because FSU was terrible. And we saw it firsthand. You know, you can watch them on TV, but when you see them on person blowing assignments, doing stupid things in the 12th game of the year, it's like, who's coaching these guys?
That was what you know, literally when I sat there and watched this game, I'm like, they are really bad.
Yeah.
You know, I knew they were bad by their record but watching some of their games. But, again, you can't really tell. And Matt Baker, who covered some of their games, was telling me they were really bad. And I was like – then I was watching the game. And I'm like, they do stink. But
poorly coached, Pat. And the contrast between coaching staffs in that game was remarkable. Florida looked like a really well-coached team. FSU looked like a team that wasn't getting coaching.
Just think about this. If Florida had hired Chip Kelly, Dan Mullen could have ended up there.
I know. You talked to Strickland about that, right? It could have happened.
Yeah.
Florida fans wouldn't like that.
Ooh, now try to go to get a nap now.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to sleep after that one. But it is personal with you, FSU.
Yeah, it goes back to that screw FSU line. That's another story I'm not going to get into. Back when I was a kid, or kind of a kid.
Yeah, kind of a kid. Yeah, I think you were
acting like a kid, for sure.
Yeah, I remember listening to the 52-13 game at your house.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
David Poff and who else?
And then we went home and Tim and I
got that, I remember that
big piece of plywood and put FSU Who on it and put it up on the top of our house, and people were honking, and then some people were cussing out my mom and flipping her
That's
birds
funny.
And made a stake.
I remember that sign, Pat. There's a picture of it
there
somewhere.
Is somewhere. I'm going to go with the Michigan game being my favorite for this reason. If you lose that game, and I think this was a big fear a lot of Gator fans had.
Yeah.
And when it came out as that matchup. Like, for example, if it had been Florida-UCF, you certainly don't want to lose UCF, but you felt better about your chances.
Yeah, the chances of beating UCF were much better than beating Michigan based on what's happened in the past few years here.
But if you lose that game, it's almost like the whole getting the Gator brand back and the Gator way and all that Mom talked about, you're like, same old Gators.
Yeah, and then you know, it's about momentum too, Pat. Look at the momentum Florida had at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And to win that game like they did and to celebrate, and now recruiting's going well, it was huge for keeping this momentum going that Dan Mullen, his staff, and those players created over the course of the year. And you got to keep it going, and it's working so far.
It's been a long time. I was just thinking about this. A long time since they had four wins. Could you put LSU and Mississippi State in there? Four wins like that were that big a deal and that got people excited. I mean, you have to probably go back to the Tebow years.
Yeah, 2008, Pat, maybe when they got on that run on the national championship year. Remember how I guess they struggled after the Ole Miss loss, and then the offense took
the
off
Arkansas
after that.
Wasn't
they just
great,
went,
yeah.
But then they went wild after that.
Yeah.
The offense
but,
went
I mean,
crazy.
Just where the game felt so big and people were so excited after it happened. So – there's no doubt about that. There were a lot of them there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and we are going to talk about going forward, what we think about Florida in the future, especially next year. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better. Better convenience. So members can bank any way they want, whether it's at a branch, on a mobile device, or at one of more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. We believe that people have better things to do with their time. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast, Gatorsports.com. My special guest, Robbie Andrew. We ought to do this more often, Robbie.
Yeah, Pat, I'm having fun. I like it. And I always like talking football year-round. So
I thought you were going to say you like talking to me. You should be bored with that.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
Robbie, by the way, was the hit of the Hospi this year at the Peach Bowl.
I went a little crazy, didn't I? It was that...
Trish called you a unicorn.
It was that the tequila machine did me in.
It's kind of track record.
It does.
Tequila. I don't think it has quite the record of Jack Daniels.
No.
Which is like, what, 8 million, 2, 0, and 1?
But when you can go back there and pour your own drink.
It's not good.
Anytime you want, it's like trouble. And we got in trouble.
There are a lot of young hacks that got into it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and they paid the price.
They were slurring big time. Yeah. Hey, I love you, Pat Dooley.
Fools, all of them.
All right, we're going to talk about going forward and what we see for Florida next year. And, Robbie, the obvious key is the offensive line because they lost so much.
Yeah, they lost four of the five starters there, and they don't have a lot of proven experienced guys there. So, you know, it's going to be a question of whether they can develop those guys. And the thing is, Pat, they started developing these younger guys over the course of the year and played them in those last couple of games and still redshirted them. So I think that, you know, that they were looking ahead, and I think that they've got a little bit of a jump start on getting those guys developed and playing together. But, you know, it took those other guys – four guys 4 years before they really clicked and they got that chemistry that they picked up this year. So it takes time up front.
Yeah, I think keeping Heggie healthy is a key. He was hurt
last year.
And he's a good player. We know that. I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy from the transfer portal end up here too, you know?
An experienced guy that is proven and can get in there and give him a little leadership maybe.
Yeah.
But otherwise they're going to be very young. And,
I worry about him at tackles.
Yeah.
At the two tackles.
Even though I think the garage kid, Pat, the freshman, is going to be really good. And I think that after talking to Hevesy late in the year, he was really pleased with where he was with his progress, how he was coming along. And it'll be a big spring for him and those other big guys.
I tell you, it's going to be amazing to watch some of the competition at wide receiver and defensive back this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because wide receiver, I mean, they are loaded.
Everybody's back.
Yeah, everybody's back. And they all – I mean, Van Jefferson we knew was good, but Swain – took strides forward.
He definitely did.
I mean, I think Cleveland took strides forward. Obviously got hurt there at the end, but he you know, just being a great special teams player.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyree Cleveland of the year before could have done that.
No, but he was a great gunner. I mean, his value to the team was in that role was really something else. And, you know, he embraced that and took it and made the most of it. So that, you know, that's what you like out of your players when you give them an opportunity to do something different and they run with it and get good at it. And he did that.
And it's funny because I was trying to think of who they're really going to miss for next year. And again, we mentioned Chauncey Gardner Jr., but I think they've got guys like Amari Burney that can step into that role. May not be quite as good.
And Dean could play that role.
And you add Marco Wilson back into the lineup. That's huge right there.
Very huge, yeah.
You know, maybe it's one of those tackles that they're really going to miss. But obviously, tailback, they're really good. So, and you're infusing all this new talent. And these guys came in here because so many of these guys signed because of what they saw Florida do. And I was talking to Scott Strickland about this today. I said, when Florida was ranked number 29 in recruiting and everybody was losing their minds, and I was like, he doesn't have anything to show them yet.
No.
And
all they can do is talk about what he's going to do. He can't say, look at this game, here's what we're doing. And now he can.
And, for example, all right, they're building a new football-only facility. Most of these guys aren't going to be around to see it by the time it's built, or they're going to be in the last part of the year, so they couldn't use that as much of a recruiting tool. And yet, recruiting ends up being really good. I think they're up to 11th now.
Yeah, and it could get better here at the end, Pat, so we'll see.
Yeah, what is Elam? Is that the key guy?
He's one of the key guys, and there's that defensive lineman from Mississippi, that apparently had a great visit, and they need another defensive lineman, so he would fill a big need there as well as Elam. You know, they add those two guys, you've got a top 10 recruiting class. That should make everybody happy.
Yeah, and then the class for next year is already exploding.
Already number three. And apparently going to get a little bit better here in the next few days.
You heard of stories?
Yeah.
Rumors?
Yeah, about a certain running back.
Okay. What?
Lakeland.
Why do you think they're doing so well? What do you think the key element is?
I think because Mullen has put a good product on the field that they can see, and they can see themselves playing in it. And I think a big deal, Pat, is the fact that the players, and we talked to them after games over the last few games of the year, they love their coaching staff.
Right.
And when your players love your coaching staff, they pass that on to these recruits, and they tell the recruits, here, they're going to make you better. They're going to make you really good, you know, come to Florida. I think that's a big part of it right now, that the players on this team really trust their coaches and think that they're going to get the most out of them.
Well, and how many times do we hear seniors say, man, I wish I could play another year.
Yeah, exactly.
Wish I could play another year.
We after 2 years of McElwain – and then to go through the year they did this year with Mullen, you want to come back.
Hey, you know what? Here's a good thing, though. We're gonna
don't go there, Pat.
Some dead fishes, and then we're
he was the dead fish. That's the whole problem.
it's been fascinating to see how this just kind of shifted, and you knew it would. Now look, after the Missouri game, if they go out and they play like they lose that South Carolina game, that they're down 31-14.
Yeah, they get blown out
there. They don't show up for FSU. They probably don't have quite – now, I've never been a big believer that a recruit comes to a school based on the result of a game.
No, I don't think
but
so.
But the result of a season,
Yeah, and if they don't have the momentum they have, who knows where recruiting would be right now. But they did salvage that game with South Carolina. They got their momentum back, and then they had that big bowl win. So everything's been – everything when you look at Florida and you listen to people, it's all positive stuff right now. And that's how you have a great recruiting year, when things are going positive like they are for the Gators.
Yeah, and I mean when the five guys left, I think there were a lot of people going, oh, same old Gators. Everybody wants to leave. Why does everybody want to leave? The guys that came back, though, I think were all huge. None of them were crucial. The only surprise was Piron. Piron's the one guy. As a running back, he might go.
Yeah. And that guy has improved so much since he's been here, and he is such a good fit in what they're doing in the offense right now. And, you know, now he's the go-to running back, and I think he'll have a big year.
And you look like at Georgia. Georgia loses Ridley. They lose Hardman. They lose Nada.
Hollyfield.
Yeah, Hollyfield. So, I mean, everybody loses guys. Yeah. How many has Alabama lost? 40 now?
Seven. I think they've lost seven, Pat.
Seven, and how many coaches?
That's probably their yearly average.
17 coaches they've lost.
Yeah.
I gotta get some new.
It's amazing how much he has to rebuild his coaching staff every year, isn't it? Every year he comes
up with
the right
guys.
Though. Yeah, he is.
All right, before I get you out of here, next year's schedule obviously open with Miami. That'll be an interesting game.
There's already smack talk on Twitter with Miami and Florida.
Really?
It's January 14th, and we're having smack talk. or 15th, whatever it is.
Try to stay out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of that one.
But not only do you trade Miami for Charleston Southern,
yeah,
you trade Mississippi State for Auburn. That to me is a wash.
Yeah, they're about the same. You get Auburn at home, yeah.
But you've got to go to LSU. You've got to go to Missouri where you've never played well.
Yeah.
You got to go to South Carolina. So I think the schedule is a little bit harder.
It's tough for a little bit, Pat.
And you only have three conference games at home.
Yeah. And the thing is, Pat, now you have to deal with expectations.
Yes.
There weren't any great expectations going to last year, but now, you know, you're 10-3, you're finished number 6 in the country or number 7, whichever poll you like. And now people are thinking, this is a team that's going to play for a championship. So it gets tougher when you try to make that next step from what they were last year to being a championship team.
Who wrote Great Expectations? Charles Dickens?
Yeah.
I think I don't know. We're not much on literature.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was Pat Dooley's podcast.
All right. We're going to get Robbie out of here. We'll be back with three things. We got to take a quick break. Thanks again for Robbie for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. Okay. All right, Robbie. Got a chance. Oh, did I tell you about him calling me the other day?
No.
About Lito, hiring Lito?
No, you didn't.
Yeah. He hires me. He goes, got a little scoop for you. Lito Shepherd.
A little scoop. You need some quotes?
Yeah. I was telling Arnold today how he used to call him sometime. You're always looking for scoops, aren't you? But
scoops and quotes.
I don't think I've told this story yet. And I played it for you.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago in the Michigan game.
Oh, yeah. You haven't said anything about
this. Steve Spurrier calls and leaves a message, and I didn't hear it on my phone. And I probably shouldn't because of what he said. Don't attach my name to it.
He did say that?
Yeah. So now I'm not going to say
it. He can't go there.
Anyway,
he was very positive.
He was very impressed with Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
I think
he can kind of leave it at that until people realize what he's talking about.
Yes, exactly.
And believe me, you were playing hurt then, Pat.
I was. I was playing very hurt. And we'll see what the Orlando Apollos do going forward. Kind of keep up with
them. They'll have some Mullen plays, apparently.
They will.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Run that draw play on third and 20.
It worked for them.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with three things. You're listening to the Dooley Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. All right, that was cool talking to Robbie. And back here on the Dooley Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Just wanted to mention our golf tournament is sold out. If you didn't get in, I'm sorry. It's amazing. We sold out in January for a June tournament. But if you're out there and you want to donate anything, we have gotten a huge donation last year, and we're getting one again this year from Verizon. I want to wait until we get it before I give them props by name, you know what I'm saying? But that was somebody who listens to the podcast. I have people come up to me all the time talking to me about the podcast, and I know you're out there listening. If you want to donate something that can go into our silent auction and help raise money to help stop children's cancer, it's not going to stop it. We all know that. Cancer is an ongoing, long-living problem that I'm a survivor. I saw Coach Boeheim last night had an issue with an eye that I could relate to, when you have prostate cancer that you have to deal with. But at any rate, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is trying to raise money for pediatric cancer research. That's what it's all about. And every year we honor a young person who is fighting cancer, and we'll do that again this year. So anything you want to donate that you think could be a nice prize, or a raffle item, or anything like that, or if you want to be a sponsor, you know how to get a hold of me. It's not hard. All right, let's go to three things.
It's time for three things.
Number one, I seem to be the only person, like I flipped on all those talking head screaming shows on ESPN and Fox and all that on Monday to see if they were going to question the onside kick that the Cowboys did not do. I thought it was – I'm rooting hard for the Rams in that game, rooting hard. And I'm like, oh, good, they're kicking it deep. If they'd onside kick. Now, I get it. Onside kick, especially the way they've changed the rules, it's almost impossible to get. They're so hard to get an onside kick. And really, maybe if you looked up the probability of it, it wouldn't have been the smart move. But you've stopped them one time on three and outs. And, of course, they got two first downs. I don't know why more people didn't make a big deal out of it. The trouble with onside kicks is that so many coaches use them when they shouldn't. And as I said in my column today, I'm here. I can be a consultant. I can tell you whether or not to do it. I think they should have a coach up there. Your only job. Look, everybody's got 96 analysts, I should say, right? Why not have an onside kick analyst and say, look, this would not be a good idea right here. Especially when the other team knows it's coming, and you do it and you end up giving them the ball in great field position, and all if they can get one first down and maybe kick a field goal. Anyway, I thought it was bad. But the main thing is I'm really excited about Sunday. Sunday is one of those days where I'm going to plan Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be go to somebody's house, go to a sports bar, stay at home, we'll grill out, something. I think the games are like 3 and 7, something like that, 3 and 6:30. I don't, whatever they are, they should be great. The games, to be honest with you, this weekend weren't that great. The Cowboys-Rams game was pretty good. I liked it, liked the outcome a lot. And then, of course, the last game was really good, the Eagles and Saints. So they ought to be fun. But I tell you what, it is pretty clear in the NFL, you better have offense and you better have a good quarterback. Forget it. I mean, you need good defense. Good defense is important, but it doesn't win championships. Forget about that old saying. That saying is out the window now. Number two on three things, Kyler Murray announcing he entered the NFL draft. Is it a portal? Do we call that a portal too? Like this transfer portal, which is one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard of. I mean, you put your name on a list. It doesn't have to be a portal. I feel like somebody's going to get beamed somewhere. But my question to Kyler Murray, or my question for Kyler Murray, I understand what he's doing. He's got a chance now to weigh the best situation. The funny thing is, if he has an average season this year in the NFL or in college, this doesn't come up. You win the Heisman Trophy, and you're in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, and you were sensational. And I voted for him for the Heisman. I thought he deserved it. But the weird thing is, I saw that the strength coach out at Oklahoma said, "Look, everybody keeps trying to say this guy's 5'8". He measured at 5'9" 7/8" in his stocking feet, so he's a 5'10" quarterback. Now, it's not impossible to be a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is about that size. It's not impossible, but it's certainly going to be tougher for him at that height. But that's not even the point. The point isn't whether Kyler Murray is too short to play in the NFL. The point is, does somebody think he's not? Does one team think he's worth a first-round pick? That was the whole story with Tebow. It didn't matter whether a lot of people had Tim Tebow evaluated. Did one team think he was worth a first-round pick? Turned out one did. And it paid off for him, at least for a while. Will he be great in the NFL? I don't know if he's going to the NFL. I mean, I still think he could play baseball. If I was him, if I was giving him advice, it would be go to the sport you love. And that should be your only sport. Believe me, you don't need to be playing quarterback and playing baseball. And I saw Deion Sanders talked about this, and I usually don't agree with anything Deion Sanders says, but I agreed with this. You can play outfield and cornerback. You can play running back and third base. You can't play quarterback because quarterback is a year-round job. So if you want to play quarterback, Kyler, man, it will be fun to watch, and it'll be good for pro football to have another young, great, dynamic quarterback everybody's talking about. Great, go for it, but leave baseball alone, man. You can always go back to it if it doesn't work out, but you don't try to do both. That's my advice, and being a great wisdom, like I am. Finally, number three, Duke lost last night and had a couple guys. Well, one guy injured, another guy was sick, and it's just another example. Because look, I think a lot of us, after we watched that Duke Kentucky game, we were saying, "Wow, everybody's just playing for second." Look, college football is a sprint. There is no question. It is not a marathon. College basketball is a marathon. It lasts a long season. It's a long season over two semesters, and a lot of games played, and a lot of things can happen. Guys can get hurt. Guys can get, you know, I saw somebody that kind of blanked out on who it was. Oh, Kansas center out for the year. You never know what's going to happen injury-wise, and, you know, in a sport where five guys are on the court versus 11, college football just flies by you. College basketball seems like March Madness takes forever to get here. And who knows what Duke will look like when we get to that point. You have no idea. This team looked impossible to beat. They lost to an unranked team at home. Well, you know, that's college basketball, man. And who knows what will happen when we get there. So I think you're going to end up with a great tournament because I think you're going to have these teams like Virginia, like Michigan, which is still undefeated. Tennessee is really good. I think they're projected as a two, but they would be a one seed with me. All these teams that are really talented in that tournament, and any of them could go down. That's what makes March Madness March Madness. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. We appreciate everybody for listening in, and thanks again to Robbie Andrew for being on. We'll be back next week with another one. Look forward to it. Until then, I am Pat Dooley. I'm the sports columnist at the Gainesville Sun. I am deep, I am way back, and I am out of here.